This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in that games community combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join in future conversations, please head on over to our Facebook, Discord, Instagram. All the social links are in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation live as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show, well, live. And one thing we'd also like you to do is to share the conversation, tell your friends, tell your family about this little PlayStation pod. Now, we understand times are difficult, but if you do want to support us financially, you can over at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise shop. popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Max, how have you been this week?
It's been a long week. I've been very tired this week. I've done next to no gaming whatsoever because my kid's still teething. She also had her immunization injection boosters this week, so she's just been miserable. She's
been an absolute asshole. Like all week.
Yeah, so I haven't played much this week. I've just been hanging with the kid.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that. Because like, I have played pretty much nothing until today. Reason being, I was just fucking not feeling it. So it was just more of I want something else to do. I need something else. So what I've been doing this week is I have been painting miniatures. So this is something that I did like 100,000 years ago, and then I've been doing it at work, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring it home with me. So I've been playing this game called Marvel Crisis Protocol at work. So my boss, Paris, brought it in. He's like, this game's dope. And it is dope. And the minis are fucking awesome. So that's what I've been working on. So I'm just, because I've completely, as I mentioned last week, I think I mentioned on Twitter, I completely cleaned the studio, like top to bottom, shell, vacuum, like everything, right? And then I proceeded to mess it up even more by bringing all this mini shit in. So that's exciting. So here let's have a quick glance for those on the video. See, there's my Hulk. He's looking very cool. I got a red skull and a spoods and a Thor. And then a bunch of other Avengers. And then I've also got your Dark Souls board game down here, Max, which will be my next tackle. So only because they're very dark and very singly colored. They're not like the most exciting thing to paint.
Hey, if you want to go crazy and paint me a rainbow dragon, like by all means.
That is the one benefit of these comic book minis is that they are bright, they are colorful. I can have a lot of fun with them. Where the Dark Souls is just gritty and it's a lot of metal and a lot of browns and blacks and grays.
Yeah.
Which we can get a lot of like cool, like when you do put some color and some flair in there, it can really make it go nicely, which is very, very cool. But anyways, that kind of like smashed out a bunch of sections really, really quick because, well, we got nothing to play. Oh, no, I did play some things, though. I should mention that. You and I. So you jumped on a little bit last night. I played a little bit this morning. Hey, Mordecai's in the chat. Hey, man, how you doing? This morning, I finally got the oomph. This is Saturday at time of recording to play some games. So I jumped in and I booted up Moving Out, the latest from SMG. I picked that up on Thursday night. That game's awesome. It's exactly what I want. It's exactly what I wanted.
I was playing it last night, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, so it's exactly what I wanted. So, like, a lot of the reviews are out in the wild, and they talk about how don't expect Overcooked. I'm like, okay, because it isn't. Like, it although it's working on the same time constraints, etc., it isn't as stressful as Overcooked. If anything, the probably closest game that would be similar, Max, would be Tools Up. Because rather than getting as much done as you can in one time, in a specific amount of time, you are trying to beat the clock. You are trying to get a list of tasks done before the time runs out. So your approach is different. So like with Tools Up, it's all about, you know, renovating this house in the time frame, getting everything done. We're here, it's get all this assorted shit from in the house into a moving truck and get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is that, like, I dig it. Like, visually, it's fascinating, it's interesting, it's the same, it's kind of that cartoony style, very similar to Tools Up as well, not quite as, because even like Overcooked is it's cartoony looking, but it's a bit more realistic, if that makes sense. It's a very fine line. I think it's published by Team 17, which I'm pretty sure Team 17 did Overcooked too.
It's a lot more casual than that of Overcooked. Mm. I mean, the fact that you can kind of just throw the stuff out the window and land it in the truck, you know, it's got that fun aspect. I really like the when you pick up appliances and they're still plugged into the wall and you got to rip the wall socket out as well.
Yeah, brilliant. No, that's good. Yeah, so the added advantage of the mechanic. So we've discussed in the past how a friend of the show, Paul, and myself, we went and play tested this bad boy here at the Melbourne office, because they are, SMG is a Melbourne based studio. So we went in there and had a look at it like way early on, and it's really impressive to see how similar the game is to that original vision. There are some minor tweaks in here, just some minor changes that really kind of make it feel more complete. And that's whether it comes down to like how it's the smoothness of animations or even just layout and indicators on the screen. Because there, in the original design, there was some stuff that sort of covers and obscured. An example would be when you look for the important items, if I remember right, the markers were kind of on all the time, which was a problem because if there was something behind the marker, you wouldn't see it. So you would grab it and you'd run off. You're like, and we're done. Oh, you missed them because it was kind of hiding behind these markers. So now it's more of a toggle. It's on and off, which is really handy. So what I mean by that is when you approach the building to remove the items that you need, you can press a button that will show you which of the items that you want. So you're not just looking for a shiny reflective item with like a sort of sheen on it, or it's more of a, okay, I need to grab this, I need to grab that. So then there's less chance that you will grab the wrong thing. But yeah, it's similar to Overcooked 2, because Overcooked 2 brought in that throw mechanic, completely changes how you play the game. Like, if you couldn't throw stuff, it'd be a less enjoyable game, because just in terms of time, it'd be like just following paths. So here, you can grab that toaster after you yank it from the wall, as you mentioned, then you just yeet it through the window into the truck, and it saves you a bunch of footwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you played it solo as well for the moment?
Yeah, so I played it solo as well. Unfortunately, the wife was a bit tired last night, so I got... I think I played up to the third level.
Yeah, about that now.
Yeah. The second level gave me some difficulty because of the L-shaped couch, trying to fit that out the stupid doorway with one person, to constantly like jump backwards and forwards over the couch to rejigger it to fit out the door properly. So I would imagine it would be a lot easier with multiple people. It seems very much designed to be played couch co-op.
Yeah, and you can really tell that. So like I've probably done like four levels now. There's about 30 by the looks of it. So even though I'm doing okay, I'm getting silver on every level, and then I go back and do all the bonus objectives, because I'm like the same thing I did with Tools Up, is I have to clear all the challenges before I can move on. I three star to the best of my ability, or gold medal it in this case, get the objectives, scoot. I can't seem to hit gold single player. Like, I'm just short every time. So I think in terms of the design of this, it is designed for that couch co-op, which in a different time where you could just come over and we would play it, Max.
Yeah.
This would be a very different in-demand game. However, now, when we're all stuck at home and there's no online support, it's a bit rougher.
Yeah, going on with the bonus objectives, I had a gripe with the first level because two of the bonus objectives completely disregard each other.
Mm-hmm.
So one was break all the windows, and the other one was break none of the windows.
Yeah, so you have to play level three times.
I had to play it multiple times. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it was just interesting to that you couldn't knock all the bonus challenges over in one go.
I do quite like that, though, because even though... Because that forced me to do that level specifically three times, and each time I did get faster. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that repetition is really handy at sort of getting those... getting that muscle memory, especially having like it does have a tutorial at the start, which is pretty basic, pretty standard. It's just like, hey, this is how you throw, this is how you run, this is how you jump, and this is how you move certain items, and it's pretty straightforward, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, and then it kind of just puts you straight into it. So in terms of being able to replay like one of the easy levels a couple times, smart call.
Yeah,
cool. On top of that, I did also have another run at Predator Hunting Grounds today. I finally got to have a match as the Predator, and I fucked everyone up. It was
okay.
Awesome.
So did you kill everyone, or did they?
Oh,
or did
no,
you
I, win fu- by... I fucked them up.
Oh, nice.
I killed them. Nice. I killed them so good. I actually got a trophy because I killed them before they could even get to the first area to start their objectives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like I just happened to spawn relatively near each other because depending on what location they picked. So I was in the trees just running and sprinting and just keeping an eye out. I did the little thermal sensory doohickey.
Oh,
and then I'm like,
doing your pred core?
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate that thing so much. Yeah, so did the little thingy. Boop, you're over there. Cool, cool, cool. And I literally just went, did the little semi-invisibility, like within the camo, what's it called? Like a force fieldy looking thing. So I'm standing there in the tree just watching them walk right under me. I'm like, and easy. Jump right behind one, shank him in the back. He dies. I quickly kill him because you know they get knocked and then you can take him again. Quick kill him. Run, fuck off into the building again. Now, because they're just entered the first objective area, bunch of NPCs, they start wrecking this one guy. And that allows me to then jump in again behind him and then just rip his spine out of his back. I'm like, and then I win. It was only a two. It was 2v1. So like in terms of the Predator, because I've now played the Predator and the Fire Team. The Predator is noticeably more powerful, like,
yeah,
uncomparably so. I think the only way that I could get around, like, get losing as a Fire Team would be if there was 4-on-1 and they were both blasting me with guns. But even then, like, I use the perk that means I get shot less because I get less bullet damage. So even then, I probably could have pushed through a little bit harder. But one of the issues we mentioned last week was how long it took to play the game. That seems to no longer be an issue. I got into I got into the Predator match in about 4 minutes, which is what, because it said about 3, so it was a little bit longer. So by the time I got in and then was matched with other people and then I got in the game, I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. Like, that's totally manageable compared to the 45 minutes we were experiencing last week. So shout out to Ilphonic for releasing a patch a couple of days later that fixed my biggest issues with the game.
Yeah.
It does allow the game to be a bit more fun. So I will, so even after we're recording here today, I will be playing it with Dash. We'll be teaming up, whether it be as a Fire Team or Predator or whatever. Max, if you're free this evening and you want to join us, get a bit more time.
Yeah,
with
I might jump on this evening.
Jump on in and we'll, team up that bad boy and, we'll see how we go. Maybe we can get some trophies, some more shaders, another, all that crap. But like, it looks as if the game does have, a bit more potential now that the netcode is fixed. Because with a game like this, that biggest hurdle is how it runs in an online space. And last week it was shithouse. Completely shithouse. So I'm glad there is some improvements. But anyways, for a section I was like, oh, this section will be nice and quick. I extended the fuck out of that. So let's get into the next section we call Inform the Players. We tell you what happened this week in PlayStation. And fuck me, Max, did a lot of things go down this week.
So you want to start with the big stuff?
Let's start with the big boy.
All right, let's go. So, Last of Us 2 leaks. Yeah. Sammy Barker from Push Square. So by now you'll no doubt be aware that extremely sensitive material from anticipated PlayStation 4 exclusive The Last of Us Part 2 has leaked online. While the title has received a new release date, the news has been overshadowed by the tidal wave of spoilers being shared on social media. It's made interacting with the release almost impossible. Nevertheless, Crush director Neil Druckmann took to Twitter to share a short message with fans. quote, heartbroken for the team, heartbroken for our fans. We're still incredibly excited to get the game into your hands. Naughty Dog shared a similar brief statement, urging its followers not to spoil the release for others, quote, no matter what you see and hear, the final experience will be worth it.
Yeah, so with that, we haven't watched the spoilers, neither you or I, Max, and nor will we. It's just not what we want. We want to experience it the best we can at the time. So from all accounts, it looks as if that they are big story beat spoilers, like the end of the game, plot twists, fucking everything that would... It genuinely, 100%, alters your experience for the game because it just tells you all the big beats. Now, at the time, there was a rumor mill around it potentially being the result of a disgruntled employee, you know, sort of someone that's sort of a bit pissy, because we have mentioned that, you know, there has been quite a number of games journalists that have talked about the working conditions at Naughty Dog and the issues that they face around that. But from the report that came out this morning, that's not the case.
Yeah, so obviously Sony have been quick to act. They've been... copy striking a lot of YouTube channels. They've tried to delete as many posts on social media as they possibly can. Obviously, there's things that you yourself can do. I know I've put on a Twitter filter.
Well, and I've same here.
I've filtered out all the Last of Us Part 2 stuff.
The best thing about this, right? So I muted all of it, or anything I could, and then I made the social post for this episode today, which I used one of the tags, and I tagged myself and you in it. And I put, you know, hashtag Last of Us Part 2, and it didn't even appear on my feed.
Yeah.
So...
But there was an update this morning coming from Hayden Taylor at GamesIndustry.biz. Sony has confirmed to GamesIndustry.biz that it has identified the primary individuals responsible for the leaks earlier this week, saying they were not affiliated with Sony Interactive Entertainment or Naughty Dog, as was rumored. The publisher has declined to comment further, saying that the information is currently subject to an ongoing investigation.
Now, so the wording here is what's most specific. So they were not affiliated, which means at no point had they been connected to Sony or Naughty Dog, which, you know, everyone's going, oh, good, at least it's not a disgruntled employee. This kind of seems fucking worse.
Well, with everyone working from home, obviously the security of stuff is a lot more, is not as high.
Yeah, very much like, so. But if
then, you know, they're not playing it in-house in their studio. They're sending copies out for their staff to play at home. And for all we know, it could have been an employee's roommate that flogged the disc and off he went.
Yeah, that's how Mordecai in the chat goes, yeah, it could be leaked to somebody else. I take storyboards and I give them out to someone else to leak. Yeah, yeah, he's pretty much spot on there in terms of that chain. But, yeah, they would still... It's that the way that's worded, because Dash points out they use very specific language here. And that, like I said, for me personally, when I read that, I'm like, that's way scarier. Like well, this game, like, this is so massive, right? This is a big... This completely destroys this game. Now, for the life of me, I can't think of where any this high-level spoilers has gone out for a title before. So, that... And some of them is irreparable damage because, you know, the big story beats have been spoiled. But the very particular wording here makes me like, okay, so that means there's a security risk within Naughty Dog, like a greater security risk? Like what does that mean as an employee, as an employer, that they're not even being this secure on their biggest project? Dash in the chat adds, QA testers are contractors. They are given the task to test these titles. They could have easily leaked it. That's true. However, they are then considered, they are contractors. Naughty Dog and Sony don't recognize their contractors as employees. That would be the asterisk there.
Yeah, I mean,
because I would consider a contractor still an employee.
Yeah, the most likely scenario is a contractor QA.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, as I said, I would consider them, yeah, a contractor, an employee, therefore that's the affiliation. If Sony and Naughty Dog do not, then okay. Well, I guess it's the whole Vince McMahon, you know, independent contractors versus employees argument with the superstars. Like, you know, that I would consider them employees, but apparently they're not the case. So that's probably the most likely connection. But affiliation means connection in some way. Even on a contract, that's still an affiliation.
So more Last of Us 2 news coming from Sammy Barker at Push Square. Last of Us Part 2 will ship on 2 Blu-ray discs. With the PlayStation pre-order page has revealed that the upcoming exclusive will gobble up at least 100 gig of hard drive space. This doesn't make it quite as big as the current Call of Duty Modern Warfare, but we're getting close.
All right, so look, I'm going to eat my words here, and then I'll eat my words again on Dash Gamer in 2 days. Back, I think it was about a year ago, maybe slightly longer, I made the call about Final Fantasy VII, about a game that requires 2 discs, that seems poorly optimized. You know why? Because I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know things. Because in terms of Final Fantasy VII, it wasn't until I played the game did I realize the scope and the depth of what they were doing to this title, like in terms of all that setup, right? So, and then even with it was weird because that was my issue with Final Fantasy VII, but Red Dead, I had no issue about being on 2 discs. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking huge.
Was Red Dead on 2 discs?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I didn't. I bought it digitally, so I have no idea. I mean, I believe you. Oh, wow. Okay.
It was interesting that I made that call about Final Fantasy, yet I didn't about Red Dead. Because I guess with Red Dead, I'd play it, and I'm like, this game is fucking ginormous. I'd completely understand why it needs 2 Blu-rays. But then I didn't, when it came to Final Fantasy VII, I was like, it's a remake. What can they really do? That just demonstrated my ignorance of what that game was going to become. So in terms of this example, it makes you kind of go, wow, all these comments about the scope and the mat and like the size of this game in terms of the playable game. All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean,
Dash is in the chat coming to pull up this clip on Monday. I'm going to have to repeat myself again. And I can accept when I'm wrong.
All right. Do you want to go and dive into the next one?
We'll just have a look here. So, Dash in the chat to adding to some Last of Us. Technically, an independent contractor is not employed to any company. They are given by task, given the task by a company as a third party. My screen has frozen. Let me just quickly jump back out and back in. So Vince is under legal scrutiny due to working with loopholes. Yep, that's in regards to WWE. Johnny Bag Donuts, what a fucking name, by the way. VG247 is reporting that The Last of Us Elite League wasn't an indie employee. Yeah, so we're discussing that now. Mordecai, will all parts of Final Fantasy VII cost $60 US? More than likely. The scope of
There's some news for Final Fantasy VII in here.
Oh, we'll get to that. But before we do that, let's quickly jump into the last bit about The Last of Us. That is its new release state.
So that's all the way at the top.
Yep, there it is. Cool. Okay, this comes from Shannon Grixty over at Press Start, good old Australian outlet. Sony has announced that both The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima have new release dates. After being delayed indefinitely from its May release date, which would be coming up in a couple of weeks, The Last of Us Part 2 will now release on June 19th. So that's about 3 weeks delay. The news comes after major story points, as we mentioned. And in order to counteract that, Ghost of Tsushima has also been pushed to make way for Last of Us Part 2 and will now release on July 17th, which, as mentioned, is only a 3 week delay. It's going to be a great 30 days of PlayStation fans with two of the most anticipated games of the last couple of years making their way onto consoles. To add to this, head of Worldwide Studios Herman Hulse, previously of Guerrilla Games, said the following, quote, I want to personally congratulate and thank both the teams at Naughty Dog and Sucker Punch Productions on their achievements. As we know, it is not an easy feat to reach the finish line under these circumstances. Both teams have worked hard to deliver world-class experiences, and we can't wait to see what you think of them when they release in just a few short months. Max, what do you think of these new release dates?
So I'm a little bit cynical. I wonder if it actually has anything to do with being able to get the discs out now, or if Naughty Dog have gone, you know what, it didn't take us as long as we thought to fix the bug, so let's just release it now.
Because it's still on paper, hasn't gone gold yet.
Also, My thought would be to keep Ghost of Tsushima as its original date and release Last of Us 2 after it and finish off their generation with The Last of Us 2.
Same. But it's interesting. Obviously, they know / see something about Ghosts that we don't. Obviously, because
Last of Us is a known quantity, whereas Ghost of Tsushima is an unknown IP. It's fresh. I mean, I'm obviously still going to play both of them. I just hope that a lot of people...
We certainly will be playing them because PlayStation Show, we kind of have to. Yeah. But
I'm just hoping that a lot of people don't get bogged down in The Last of Us 2 and kind of gloss over Ghosts. I hope it doesn't miss its moment because it's still releasing 3 weeks within this mammoth of a game.
I think there's a couple ways we can look at this. And this is, you know, in terms of... People are probably going to dodge it anyway, right? Because if you look at that and you see Ghost and then you see Last of Us, if you've got $60 US or $100 Australian, you are buying The Last of Us because you know it's going to be great. So the difference here is rather than The Last of Us cannibalizing sales after Ghost, because, well, I'm not buying Ghost, I'm going to buy The Last of Us. So they're not spending their money because they know they want Last of Us more. By releasing Last of Us first, people will be more incentivized to buy the game. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, they finished it. They're like, what am I going to do now? And then in comes Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so like in terms of a financial kick, I think that would make sense. But also, I have heard concerns about maybe this is demonstrating their lack of faith in Ghost of Tsushima, which I'm unsure of. But you know, we're not really super in the know. I think it can work. I think the game can still do well, and I think a little bit more breathing room away from Last of Us may have worked in its favor, but. Because as all accounts, the PS5 is still coming in November-ish. Any closer you bring it to that winter/spring time frame, people be like, I'm not going to buy that game. The PS5 comes out in 2 months.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a very tough spot.
I mean, at the same time, it's also like, you know, everything is going to work on PS5, and so far we still don't know what's coming with it.
Well, we know one thing that's coming.
We know one thing that's coming. So, let's talk about that one thing. So, earlier this week, Assassin's Creed Valhalla was announced, Ryan.
Yeah.
In a very peculiar way.
It was an awesome way. I'm just going to bury the lead. I'm just going to bury the lead. I'm going to talk about it right now. So no, I was sitting here painting my minis as I was doing on the night. And then I get this email from Ubisoft being like, hey, man, go jump on Twitch. A gentleman by the name of Boss Logic is creating a way to reveal Last of Us Valhalla. And I'm like, I fucking love Boss Logic. I have his art in my lounge room. I'm like, I am so in. So I'm sitting there watching him work his way into creating this incredible banner that would be showcasing what would become Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So it started with like this silhouette man in the middle, like a blue on one side, yellow on the other, and then he proceeds to build a snowy mountain range on one, and then what looked like Scottish countryside. Which I thought was very interesting because that's what caught my attention. What caught my attention was, I'm like, snowy? Okay, that's adding to the rumors of this Valhalla Norse that we've been hearing. But I'm like, that looks fucking Scottish because he really focused on that side more than he did the blue initially on the mountain range, right? Because like once he did like a Viking boat, it gave it away in a fucking heartbeat. So he's working on this side and I'm watching that and I'm like, there's a castle and it's like flowing green hills. I'm like, are we about to get a Scottish, like, Assassin's Creed? Like, because my stepfather, who is Glaswegian, he's born in Glasgow, you know, he's 100% Scottish. He would shit, like, he loved Origins and Odyssey. He would fucking die if there was a Scottish Assassin's Creed. Like, he would fucking explode. So I'm watching this going, yeah. Do I get to tell my stepfather tomorrow morning that he's going to get to play a Scottish Assassins, like, he will have the best time in the world. And then no, eventually I couldn't watch the whole thing because I was like, I'm getting tired, I went to bed.
Oh yeah, it went for ages,
but it was like, awesome
ages,
dude. It demonstrates the complete and utter talent that is Boss Logic. Now, for those that might not know, Boss Logic has done a ton of work. He's mostly in like a Photoshop space in terms of taking one image and bringing it into this other whole sphere. He works a lot with like the Marvel and the Avengers, does a lot of like sports and comics and video game stuff as well. So it's great to see him do more. Dash says he's awesome. He is genuinely awesome. He's a really lovely dude too. Like, I met him a couple years ago at a con, which when I bought a lot of his artwork. And he's what a dude. What a dude. But yeah, you can go the rest now. You kind of buried the
lead. Oh, no. It's all you, man. I did all the Last of Us stuff. You go for it.
Oh, okay. Cool. So then eventually it ends with, a Viking holding this big Viking axe across those two things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking in. Dash is making a bunch of ass jokes in the chat. So this did finally get announced over the week. We did also get a cinematic trailer the day after, which was cool. So kind of like get everyone hyped for a day, then go to the cinematic trailer. Cinematic trailer looks fucking fantastic. There were moments where I'm like, am I watching Vikings or is this The Last Kingdom? It looks exactly like those shows. Like there are certain moments where I'm like, this looks like fucking real people. But that's how cinematic trailers work, Max. That's what they're supposed to do. Did you check out the trailer?
I did. So I watched it as soon as it went live at 1 a.m.
Yep. Oh, because you're up working, I assume.
Yeah, because I was at work. So I sat down, had a coffee break, watched the 4-minute trailer. So good.
It looks fantastic.
Very, very well put together. The Reverend Puck in the chat looked great, but didn't show much of anything that makes it an Assassin's Creed game other than the Hidden Blade. I mean, they're not going to give away too many story beats in their launch cinematic trailer.
Well, that's a lot of people complain. I did see some complaints, including from Dash on Twitter, about like, you know, they're not showing gameplay. I'm like, yeah, because that's, well, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, that'll come probably within a couple of weeks, I guarantee it.
Well, the gameplay reveal will be on the 7th of May or the 8th of May for us.
Yeah, so we'll get into that in just a bit more of that in just a minute. But
Splinter Cell's never coming back, Dash. Splinter Cell's dead.
we'll get into the specifics and then we'll have a chat about it. So, show you something we first. This comes from Press Start, Shannon as well. Talking to the creative director behind Valhalla and many other Assassin's Creed titles, and here's everything that they have learned about the game and think you may need to know. Assassin's Creed Valhalla will be coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Google Stadia, although that is not available in Australia. Period. So this is essentially PS5's first big RPG. This is a big release for PS5. So it's also going to be cross-generation, similar to Assassin's Creed Black Flag back in the day. It'll release in the holiday season, you know, presumably around release of the next gen. The game takes place in the 9th century, with the game beginning in Norway before you take it to Dark Ages England. The main character is a Norwegian Viking clan leader named Elvor, who can be played as either male or female. Fucking thumbs up on that one. I like that. That's a very cool idea. Very similar to what we saw in Odyssey. Main character, I've read that part. There are 4 major kingdoms: North Cumbria, East Anglia, Mercia, and Essex, so a bunch of different areas in England. Settlements and raids play a big part in the game, which makes sense. You're Vikings. The big part of your game is managing your settlement by growing it and adding more people to it. A bit of farming sim in there for me.
So that's similar to the villa in Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like, yeah, because I actually haven't played a lot, so you will need to take out your longship to go on raids, attack other settlements, and use these resources to grow your own. So there'll be some more naval combat, I presume, or naval actions, very similar to almost all of them since Black Flag. Similarly, your settlement can be raided at any time by other people in the world. That doesn't mention other players there, just other people. The idea is that your settlement will become a community where you'll know all the people that are within it. The game will have weightier combat than Origins and Odyssey, with bearded.
Bearded.
Beard, that makes more sense. Bearded axes, Dane axes, and flails. You can dual wield any weapon in the game, including swords, axes, and shields. Even dual wielding shields, for instance, like two shields. That'd be awesome, like double fucking Cap America. Enemy variety is bigger than ever, and the team wanted to make sure that 15 to 20 hours into the game, you will still be surprised with new enemy types and varieties. Levels are no longer a thing. Your character is now measured by power, which is tied to the skill set of your character. As I mentioned, naval combat is back, with the longship playing a big part on the naval exploration and combat. There are pet companions in the game. However, the only thing that's been confirmed is wolves that can help you in battle. It's heavily hinted that we will see Odin and potentially some other gods of Norse mythology. However, Kratos will not be appearing. An example given was Ratoska, a squirrel that you'll see in the game. The game will support faster loading times on next generation console due to the tech, including the SSD and the PS5, to help build a bigger, more immersive world. And the story fits into what has been set up within the worlds of Odyssey and Origins, and you'll see some familiar characters. So, as Dash mentions in the chat, Lies, the protagonist, is a techno Viking from the early 2000s. So we will see like some forward backwards bullshit, which I'm not a big fan of. And there'll still be branching dialogue with big decisions to make along the way. And the game is a single player experience, but it will have online components. Does that like tickle your fancy at all, Max?
Yeah, I'm super keen for this. I like the way they've kind of stripped the levels that that Origins and Odyssey had, where, you know, enemies were just almost impossible to defeat if they were too high a level.
Yeah, you kind of got level locked out of certain areas, which was a bit fun.
I mean, in saying this, though, it sounds like they've just removed the level number and put in a power number instead, and then you're probably still going to be gated a little bit.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a cool era to explore, I think.
I am back.
You know, Dark Ages England. Great.
And Mordecai and rap battles.
And obviously the main studio working on this is the studio that did Origins and Black Flag. So we know the naval combat's going to be.
That's Montreal, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that leads into our next story from Sammy Barker at Push Square. So you'll have grown old by the time Assassin's Creed Valhalla credits conclude. As primary developer, Ubisoft Montreal has confirmed that it's collaborating with 14 other studios bring the Viking-themed open worlder to life. The French publisher revealed the release name and setting as part of a live stream with the teaser video coming out the following day. So an update, Ubisoft has confirmed the full selection of teams supporting Ubisoft Montreal and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We have Ubisoft Sofia, Ubisoft Singapore, Ubisoft Montpellier, Ubisoft Barcelona, Ubisoft Kiev, Ubisoft Bordeaux, Ubisoft Shanghai, Ubisoft Chengdu, Ubisoft Philippines, Ubisoft Quebec, Ubisoft Bucharest, Ubisoft Pune, and with additional help from external partner Sparisoft. Madness.
Yeah, so they are kind of cheating there by saying 14 studios. It's all fucking Ubisoft. It's like, it's literally all the same people. It's not like, we got, you know, NetherRealms, and we got, you know, CD Projekt Red, and we got this person and that person.
It's 15 of their own studios, but generally speaking, they don't.
It's just them pulling out their studio dick. Like, hey, do you know how we have 14 in-house studios and they all worked on this game? Like, yeah, I'd fucking hope so. Saying that, though. Look, the problem that I'm going to have here with this game is I'm quite excited for it. I'm very keen to check it out. However, I also said the same thing about Origins and Odyssey. And once I started playing it and I got like super grindy RPG, I was like, fuck yeah, and I bounced out.
Yeah, those games were long.
They were long. Painful.
They were so long.
And on top of that, like, the big thing is because I have in the past been referred to by Dash as Ryan Ubisoft Betson, because I would, you know, give them praise for like Far Cry and shit, because I really quite enjoyed Far Cry. However, sorry, Mordecai adds in the chat, Studio Donetsk consists of a fax machine. So it's just a service. It's like, meh, it just prints out, goes nowhere. But technically it was there. It's a good tax write-off studio. So where was I going about before I got interrupted by fax machines?
You love Ubisoft.
Right? Oh, yeah, Ubisoft, that's right. Hudson. Yeah, so like that was pretty much up until like Breakpoint. Like Breakpoint, I'd be like, these guys, I can see where these games are great. My breaking point was fucking funny enough, Breakpoint. They almost named it perfectly, right? Because I'm like, this is dumb. This is broken. This is bullshit. So yeah. I really hope that they have taken that on board here and rejiggered it. Because even with the likes of Odyssey and their level of microtransaction within that game did cause a number of problems for people. Because
I mean, it was gross that you could buy a permanent XP boost so you could just do the main story quests and that you didn't have to do side quests.
Yeah.
Because that game was a grind without it.
Yeah, but as Dash is pointing out in the chat, it is very likely that it will be the same and no major changes will take place, but okay. It's all good. Speaking of changes, though, Max, this brings up the next bit of news. So, as we talked about last week, WWE 2K21 is fucking canned because I guarantee it'll look like asshole. And they're like, I imagine there was an internal meeting somewhere and they went, you know how we're able to make our characters look like real human beings? I went, go on. We have an idea. It's called WWE 2K Battlegrounds. And that got announced this week. So there's a little trailer from the WWE games and 2K.
So yeah, just before you dive right into this,
yes.
When I first saw WWE 2K Battlegrounds, I thought it was going to be a battle royale.
Oh my god, that would be amazing! And a battle royale would be so much better.
Which is, I'm assuming is just like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, just that would be. It's like 60 people run into one giant wrestling ring, and then you all just punch and get thrown out. So, yeah, following the recent cancellation, this comes from Push Square. PUBG 2K staring down the barrel of the year, completely devoid of a wrestling video game. Considering how poor the TV product is right now, can agree, we wouldn't have exactly missed it. But plans have now been put into place to fill the gap left by the usual WWE simulator. So WWE 2K's Battlegrounds is a more lighthearted take on the sport, and it will launch later this year. And developed by Saber Interactive, WWE 2K blog describes the game as, quote, a completely new WWE gaming experience that will feature arcade-style action and over-the-top superstar designs, environments, and moves. We're focusing on social pick-up-and-play fun, but with plenty of depth for those who want to get into it deep. 2K hasn't said what platforms it will be appearing on, so we're pretty comfortable that it'll be PlayStation 4 and Xbox One at least, but possibly for the next generation. This is interesting. So in the chat, Dash is making fun of how Charlotte Flair looked, and Mordecai brings up the Rock looked horrifying. What I don't like here was the discrepancy. So this is very similar to like NBA Playgrounds, sort of that big head in proportion limbs. They kind of look like these. They kind of look like the loot crate slam crate characters, right? That same sort of proportion. However, these look good. Because the issue I have, Max, is they're inconsistent. The Rock looks really perfect in terms of like perfect, as he looks like a human in this region, in like the head region. Charlotte Flair looks fucking not like Charlotte Flair. They're just like, I don't know, a woman with blonde hair. And they're like, Becky, woman with red hair. And like, it's just, it kind of look. It's the you can see they're trying to go for that, you know, WWE All Stars from back in the day. I certainly do not feel that this is a positive. But that's until I play it. I'll play it and I'll give it a burl. But I don't think that this is. Yeah, and then Johnny Bag of Donuts. This is Sasha Blank. That's right. Sasha Banks is a woman with blue hair. Like they'll just have a female generic model. Put blue hair on her. They go, that's fucking Sasha Banks, all right?
Yeah, the Reverend Park brings up a good point of their character developers have vague ideas of how the people actually look.
Yeah. Like, they just kind of pull, which makes sense, because like, in terms like, of a caricature, like pick the definitive, the very defined features of that person.
But I mean, like, everyone knows what The Rock looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to know who The Rock is.
Yeah. Look, I'm open to it because fuck him, why not? Yeah, and I said like it's been a while since we pooped on a game, so if it happens to go shit house, let's just poop on a game. You know, so we started pooping on Predator, and then it kind of fixed itself. I'm like, damn it.
So my exciting news for this week was the Cyberpunk rated R18 in Australia.
That's right, Cyberpunk boobies. So
this comes from Shannon Grixie at Press Start. So earlier this week, the Brazilian rating listing for Cyberpunk 2077 was found on the internet. The game was rated for having drug use, drug trafficking, and prostitution, among many other things.
I guess.
Which would lead any Australian to be worried about the game successfully receiving classification in Australia. The good news is that GameSpot received confirmation that the game had in fact been rated R18 in Australia without any changes.
Sorry, Mordecai in the chat, the holy trinity of games, you know, drugs, drug trafficking, and prostitution.
So we've just had confirmation of the fact with Bandai Namco's local team, who also provided updated local pack shots for the game and the Australian R18 rating. Also calls the game out for having, quote, high impact themes, sex, violence, and refers to sexual violence, which is normally a very big no-no.
See, that, you know, like, that makes me think of, if anything, makes me think of Marilyn Manson. There is a song where, you know, I don't remember the song. But yeah, no, it's pretty much like sex, 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 and don't forget no violence, no, 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 no. But, you know, in very Marilyn Manson way. So if it's like a Marilyn Manson song, I'm pretty down.
So the list of themes that this game will contain,
the new shit, thank you, Dash.
Is weapons without violence, hinted use of illicit drugs, weapons with violence, description of consuming illicit drugs, derogatory language, verbal aggression, sexual pleasurement,
hot,
violence acts, exposure to death corpse.
That sounds like a band.
Sexual language, blood. Description of illicit drug consumption of and trafficking, sexual exploitation, nudity, and prostitution. Cyberpunk 2077 will now release on September 17th, and every Australian can now be excited for the game without fear of it being refused classification.
That's right. I'm going to get my robo titties on. It's going to be awesome.
This is good.
Yeah, it's good news.
I like when they leave things alone and let them come out as they were intended.
Because I remember, I think it may have been around E3, where like the, you know, when they're like showcasing it off a whole lot, and there were a lot of Australian reporters being like, "This could be concerning," because what we saw, it's like, "Ooh, you've caused issues in the past for other games. Maybe, you know, we could still potentially come out clear." And we have come out clear. I think the backlash would have been so ridiculous that I think the ratings board were like, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
And now the chat's talking about Marilyn Manson. Yes. Do you think it will affect sales that much, though? I think people may have not pre-ordered it initially, or I think it may go the other way. Like, they've seen that and they've gone, oh, fuck yeah. And then they'll go pre-order it.
Yeah.
So I think if anything, it may add to the hype around the game. I haven't pre-ordered it yet. I'm not a big pre-order of games, just because I'm not a big fan of it.
I also haven't pre-ordered it. I think the next thing I will be pre-ordering is a new console.
Same. That's probably my next step for me.
Which I think here in Australia, we might have to pre-order through JB, because
EB might just shit the bed between now and then.
Yeah, we don't know if EB will be alive by the end of the year.
Yeah, that is certainly a big, big concern. But yeah, because like unless it's a console, unless it's a collector's edition, no, I don't pre-order it, because, you know, I can just walk up and buy the fucking game.
Oh, yeah, and to add to the Last of Us news, the pre-order page is back up for Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, there's a side story, by the way. So I pre-ordered the collector's edition for Last of Us like way back in the day. But I also had like the placeholder pre-ordered at the store. So then I ordered the collector's edition online, and I totally forgot that I did. And then I remember going to the store, getting the one of them cancelled, and then so I could still have just one. But I forgot all of this, right? So the context of the story is I forgot all of this. I was driving home after they announced the release date. I'm like, sick. All right. Oh, fuck. Because I want, like, you know, they had the PSN was canceling all Last of Us pre-orders because, you know, they couldn't guarantee a date. I'm like, fuck. All right. Shit. I checked my EB World account, and it's like, canceled. I'm like, no. Fuck. freaked out, called the store. I'm like, hi, I just wanted to check if that. They're like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'm like, ah. It's like I died for about a minute because it's just, it'd be rough times. I don't know where that story was going, but
you wanted that Ali statue.
Yeah, I want it because it looks like she has a bung eye in it and a punched in face. It's not a very good statue. I hope it comes out better in real life, but I imagine there is some good resale on that. All right, let's have a look. What else we got in this news, Max? Cyberpunk. Yeah, that one's done. That one's done too. That one's done.
So in order from top to bottom, we've got Ghost of Sushi.
Ghost of Sushi.
Which we kind of touched on.
We did touch upon. So additionally to the delay, they discussed on Twitter that they've certainly been challenges in adapting to a game, to develop a game in a work from home environment. But thanks to an incredible effort by our worldwide team, Ghost is nearly ready for release. There are finishing touches to apply and bugs to squash. So we'll put these extra couple of weeks to good use. So that's the one advantage of them getting pushed back. Like, by the sounds of it, this game is ready to rock and roll. But they're like, all right, cool. We'll just fuck with it a little bit longer. That's cool by me. PlayStation Mag clarifies Horizon sequel story, Max. This comes from Robert Ramsey at Push Square. A teaser for the official PlayStation Magazine's July issue leaked online yesterday. Goddamn leaks. And it's caused a tidal wave of speculation across the internet. The magazine promises a PS5 game blowout on the 2nd of June, and rampant rumors say that Sony is set to reveal the PS5 in May. So, it's all adding up. But there's a different detail on the OPM's June cover that has people hyped. It says, quote, revealed the surprising Horizon Zero Dawn sequel, end quote. That's good. Good catchy headline. Be clickbait. Naturally, a lot of people immediately saw this as a confirmation of an imminent Horizon Zero Dawn 2 announcement. However, that is not the case. While it is known that the sequel is in development, and almost certainly for PS5, it isn't the sequel that the PlayStation Magazine was referring to. The publication put out a tweet today clarifying the situation, saying, quote, there are some stories circulating of us revealing Horizon Zero Dawn 2 in our new issue, which is on sale next week. The cover story references a new comic from Titan, which continues after the game. So, not even new news. The comic's been out for a little while. Mm. I went to buy it this week because I didn't know when it was out, because I picked up the God of War comic this week. So it came from Amazon the other day. So, it seems that some people are getting carried away. So, there you have it. The cover is, in fact, teasing a look at the comic book, not Horizon Zero Dawn 2. However, because that reveal itself would have been giniferous.
Yeah.
People, man, people are just so keen for news right now. They'll take it wherever they can.
Yeah, so we've got some more news coming out of the official PlayStation Magazine. So the latest issue of the official PlayStation Magazine, currently available digitally, focuses on the PlayStation 5 and its fancy new controller. But the most compelling tidbit comes courtesy of its preview for the next edition, due out on the 2nd of June. The magazine writes, quote, it's coming. The top of the page includes the PS5's record-breaking logo. The publication continues, quote, the next gen starts next issue, as we reveal the latest games coming to PS5 and how they'll play. There have, of course, been strong rumors that Sony is planning some kind of console blowout in May. The dates would align here if that was the case. We're now 6 months away from the system's previously announced holiday 2020 launch, so it makes sense. That said, with the current situation of the world, the Japanese giant is working on an alternative schedule at the moment, and plans are always subject to change. With an update on this story, writing on Twitter, official PlayStation Magazine has clarified that its July issue teaser is not necessarily indicative of an impending PlayStation 5 reveal event. Quote, there will be PS5 games coverage in this issue on sale in July, but this is not a reference to a Sony event.
This
really good at
this is the problem. If you have to make a headline and then fucking clarify that headline, you're doing your fucking headlines wrong.
Mm.
Like, Grant, regardless of it leaking, if
they're going too clickbaity.
Yeah, they are. Like, they are going too hard. Now, headlines are supposed to be grabby. That's how headlines work. That is the point of them. It makes you want to buy the magazine because no one fucking buys print media anymore. But you're doing it. Like, if you have to make a statement around a headline, then you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Because, like, on the... I think, do we have that in here as well? About the PS5 event? Here it is down here. So, there's, like, been a lot of discussion around it probably doing this big thing in May. And that also come from another article at Push Square. When is the PS5 reveal? Now, we've been speculating on this PS5 reveal since, like, late January. Like, it is now May. It is getting, like, crazy that we are still talking about this reveal event. It's like, yes, buddy. Okay. Sorry, I was going to keep going. My son's wanting to do things. yeah, so it's been crazy that, like, we still heard nothing about it. But let's see. So it's looking more and more likely that we'll be very close to something big. Rampant rumors, again, have been saying that Sony has its next-gen event set for some point over the next coming weeks, and the evidence is really starting to pile up. So this is what Push Square put together. Early in April, reliable source VGC reported that Sony recently had plans to reveal the PS5 in May. However, the publication was unsure if the Japanese giant would be forced to alter their plans because of the aforementioned Voldemort virus, but still report was gave something to start, right? Then there was this... Then in the know, GamesBeat reporter Jeffrey Grubb was hinting that Sony's event could take place on the 4th of June, but it sounds as an actual PS5 hardware reveal couldn't arrive earlier than that. So this makes us think this is maybe a showcase of the box itself, with a bit more coming a little bit later. Then there was the tweet with the announcement of the Microsoft Xbox Series X event taking place in the coming week. And well-known Scoop Master Jason Schreier was asked when Sony's event was happening, and he goes, a few more weeks, I believe. However, right now, everything is pointing towards Sony's PS5 event during either later in May or in early June, or potentially both. It's still difficult to say how Sony will handle this, but the bottom line is the wheels are turning. Now, look, I'm at a point right now, Max, where I'm like, I'm not going to fucking believe anything until I see it.
Yeah. With how they've been releasing stuff, especially with the odd release of the DualSense controller on a random Tuesday afternoon on a random blog post, like, you just got to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, there's been rumor after rumor. They're like, it's going to be February. It's going to be Valentine's Day. It's going to be on the day of the leap year. It's going to be now. It's going to be then. And it's going to happen when it happens. It will happen. It's going to happen. We just have to wait.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy times. But we do have a bit more about that event next week. If you want to jump in that?
Yes, certainly. So, third-party PS5 games will debut next week, this coming from Push Square. So, the cogs are certainly in motion. Microsoft has just announced that it plans to showcase next-gen gameplay as a part of a digital Inside Xbox event next week from its, quote, global developers partners. Amongst the reveals will be third-party titles that will also be coming to PlayStation 5, meaning we're finally about to get a taste of what these machines can do. One of the PS5 games you can look forward to seeing gameplay of is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Ubisoft has confirmed that the Viking-inspired experience will take part in the digital stage as part of the Inside Xbox broadcast. What else can we expect? Cyberpunk 2077 and Dying Light 2 are two possibilities, thanks to the confirmation that next-gen versions are in the works, but it's new games which will excite the crowd from home. Will Elden Ring make its grand return? We'll have to wait until Thursday, the 7th of May. For Aussies, it'll be 1 a.m. on the 8th of May.
Yeah, so I think this is a really good way to see some of the third-party titles that are going to be making their way to PS5. When we look at the likes of Dying Light 2, which we always also went on an indefinite hiatus from Techland semi-recently. So hopefully that a bit more news around that. If that gets itself a release date, that'll be fucking awesome, because I know you're a big fan of Dying Light 1, Max.
Super keen.
So there's a lot there. Cyberpunk makes sense. I don't know how they'll go about if they discuss that it will be... forwards. Like, the only reason is they say it's forwards compatible. They're not going to announce a PS5 version, I guess. But sorry, or an Xbox Series X version. You know, because Xbox are looking at mixing their generations anyway. What else? Yeah, I think there might be some surprises, especially from a competitive standpoint. I am looking forward to see what Xbox's studios will be doing. Like we saw last year, the big lineup of all the acquired studios, which is awesome. But they were all so early in production of whatever their new thing would be, or they're wrapping up their last project, you know, as an independent or a, you know, multiple platform release, that even what they show here may be something that is in the future. It'll be in 2021 or 22. Yeah. So like there's a lot to be excited about in this, especially if you're a game, like to a general games fan, you don't really have those allegiances. But here, it allows us to see what the other side are working on, and what third-party games will make their way over at some point.
Mm.
Well, yeah. So, is there anything that you're specifically got your eyes on?
Not really. Since starting to do this with you, I've very much gone media blackout on a lot of the things that I am looking forward to.
Mm. Why is that?
I haven't watched... I don't know. I haven't watched any of Cyberpunk 2077 stuff, but I am super keen on it. I think I want to just experience it firsthand when I'm playing it and I've got it ready to go. I try not to get myself too hyped up for things before I play them now. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I used to be very much, you know, I want to see all the trailers. I want to see all the things. I want to know as much as I can before I go into something.
Mm.
But now I want to know as little as I possibly can. So when I experience it, my reactions are my first takes.
Yeah, and that's certainly we are in a luxury of doing that because we do work in, I guess, enthusiast press or sort of that kind of side spin off to games press that, you know, we will be reviewing a game like, you know, a bit earlier from release and stuff like that. So for us, it's within our interest to not consume as much media as possible for us to play it. Like we still do, like we touch upon big things like, you know, like the Assassin's Creed trailer and all that sort of stuff, but there is that fine line that we luckily get to balance, right? But yeah, so like there are some things I still jump out at, you know, to add into what you're saying, but there are most of the time I'm like, all right, let's wait till I play it.
Like I do hope to see some Dying Light 2. I would like to know that they're still working on it, that something's going to come from that.
And it makes sense because both of them had been showcased at Xbox, at Microsoft conferences at E3. So we know there is at least a marketing deal between them. So it would make perfect sense for them to appear there.
I mean, we know there's definitely a marketing deal with Cyberpunk with Xbox, considering there's a Cyberpunk
Xbox
console that can be bought now. I think it's now or next month.
Yes, yeah, very soon.
But you don't get your code for Cyberpunk until the game releases in September. Very, very weird.
Yeah, and on top of that, like Assassin's Creed, although their trailers are back-ending with Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, we see that a lot now with like Call of Duty because they're currently tied up with PlayStation. Let's have a quick look. So we are going quite long here, Max. We might just shrink some of these down a little bit. Maybe let's put these. Actually, do the Final Fantasy, and then we'll quick bit the rest of it.
All right. So, much news was made of how Final Fantasy VII Remake will be split into installments when the news broke years ago. But the backlash everyone was expecting from the wider gamer community hasn't come to fruition. We haven't come across any big complaints that the first part finishes after the party leaves Midgar, but at least director Tetsuya Nomura wants to get part two out as soon as possible. There's still no word on how many pieces there will be in the Final Fantasy puzzle, however. As part of the Japanese Final Fantasy VII Remake Ultimania book, which has been kindly translated by Twitter user Atikimochi and reported on VGC, Nomura said that the next part could be smaller than the Midgar section to aid in development times.
Mm.
Quote, if we divide the story into large parts, it takes longer to make. If we divide it into more detailed, smaller sections, then developing it will be faster. I hope to release the next one ASAP. Producer Yoshinori Kitase then confirms that Square Enix still doesn't know how many parts the story will be split into. Quote, we have a general idea of how the story will play out, but we haven't decided exactly how many parts, nor can we confirm anything. There's speculation that it will be three parts, but we're just doing things one step at a time. So obviously the original was three discs. So three parts is what everyone kind of thought was going to happen.
Mm.
But obviously if they split it into smaller chunks, we're going to get them more often.
So adding to the question that popped in the chat earlier, there is that weird line of, are they still going to charge full price for even these smaller bundles? So if they are not, you know, adequately advertising they're doing X amount of parts, there is that thing of like, so if you plan to do eight parts, that's, this game's going to be, you know, a lot.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. I look forward to seeing how everything rolls over from the first game.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a level cap in place for the first part. I wonder if you will kick off exactly as your characters were.
Yeah, because there's been no mention about, like, you know, save crossovers and stuff as well. Like, there's really not a lot of, like, story beats or anything, that not like Mass Effect where the game will need to remember the next part. However, it certainly wouldn't hurt to at least bring your, like, materia over and stuff, because if you make this one particular build that you like, then cool. You know, even on top of that, the soft level cap's like, what, 50?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you then roll over to the next game, like, what's the leveling? Are you starting back at zero? Are you still at 50? Like, are you 50 but keep all your materia? So then you'll be incredibly overpowered. There's a lot of balance that comes with bringing the save system across like this. And I think it would be the best decision for them to do that. But how they deliver it, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
So from your angle, Max, have you finished Final Fantasy VII? Like, do you think that where they've left it, you could bring all your shit over?
I would certainly hope so.
Hmm.
I don't see why they would make a game that's in parts if what you did in the first part had no effect on the second part. It just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. All right, let's get into the quick bits. We're going to rattle through a bunch of these news. EA has confirmed the Battlefield will be returning on the PS5, and no one cared. Apex Legends will also be coming to PS5. Makes sense, because, you know, they're
hiring for next gen.
Yeah, it makes sense because that game's pretty popular and they want to keep moving on there. You've put in here the idea of the Nier Replicant, which I think is old news actually.
Yeah, so Nier Replicant is the remake/remaster of the original Nier game, but they're updating the combat to play more like Nier Automata.
Okay, because this news came out like a couple weeks ago. Cool. That's a bit more gameplay details there.
And then it's just the quick bits.
Yeah, so then we have the other additional quick bits. PS Plus games for May, City Skylines and Farming Simulator 19. Woo!
Not the leaked games that I was hoping for of Dying Light and Dark Souls Remastered.
Yeah, the smart call here. I think they're going with a bit more long-form strategic games that can take up a lot more time. It's probably, you know, in terms of how long we're in ISO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two games could, in fact, be the next play-at-home games, whatever, for all we know. Adding to Dying Light, it will be getting more DLC. Techland have done an amazing effort to continually support this game.
Techland released 10 DLCs in 2017 for Dying Light.
It's ridiculous. No wonder two's indefinitely delayed because they keep working on one. And then finally, classic GTA games are being rated for release on the PS3?
Yeah. Yeah, they got ESRB ratings for the PS3. And they were available to purchase as of the 30th of last month. We're talking classic top-down view GTA 1 and 2.
And London? London better be part of it.
I wasn't sure if London was part of it.
London needs to be a part of it. But anyway, that is all of the news. A big hunk of news to get through this week, Max. It's been absolutely brutal week. There's a lot to get through there. A lot of first party stuff, which has been crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. But anyway, as we're talking about games that won't be out for a very long time. So let's take a look at what games are coming out this week, Max, in a section we call Coming to the Players.
So this is The Drop, the new PlayStation games for May 5th, 2020. This coming from the US PlayStation blog, so some dates will differ for us Aussies. Some games won't release in this window at all. First up, we have Emma, Lost in Memories, PS4, PS Vita Digital, out May 8th. Fury Unleashed, PS4 Digital, out May 8th. Infinite Beyond the Mind, PS4 Digital, out 7th of May. John Wick Hex, PS4 Digital.
Apparently, this is really dope.
Become the Baba Yaga. John Wick Hex is a fast-paced, action-oriented strategy game that makes you think and strike like John Wick, the professional hitman of the critically acclaimed film franchise. We have Ping Redux, PS4 Digital, out May 6th. We have Reed 2, PS4, PS Vita, Digital Crossbuy. We have Super Mash, PS4 Digital, out May 8th. Now, this game sounds interesting to me. So I'm gonna go ahead and read this one out.
Go ahead.
So Super Mash is a game that makes games. Mash together two game genres to get a completely unique new game each time. Then challenge your friends to see how they do. Think the mash you made is impossible? Share its mash code with a friend or streamer and see if they can beat it. So I think you pick like two genres and it basically just generates a game.
Okay, it's interesting. It's an interesting concept. I'd like to see how it delivers that.
We have Taimumari Complete Edition, PS4 Digital, out May 4th. Task Force Campus, PS4 Digital. Ubermosh Omega, PS4 Digital. Void Bastards, PS4 Digital, out May 7th.
I've heard about that one too. So forget everything you know about first-person shooters. Void Bastards asks you to take charge, not just point your gun and fire. Your task is to lead the ragtag Void Bastards out of the Sargasso Nebula. You make their decisions where to go, what to do, and who to fight. And then you must carry out the strategy in the face of strange and terrible enemies. I've heard that name pop up a lot recently. I think it's pretty sick.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty good things about it.
But yeah, only 11 games in the drop this week, which is a lot of games, but it's also staggeringly less games.
I think they're all indie titles.
Yeah, too. no big boys this week.
No big boys.
And that will be happening for the next couple of weeks, I guess. I think we're pretty quiet now. It is mostly indie titles, which is great if you're an indie developer and you can push your game out, but it's rough times ahead.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Max, once again for joining me this week in For the Players. So much to get through this week. It's been good to have a lot. Like, it's baffling that we're able to, you know, put so much news into one show.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so quiet at the moment, but there's still so much news to go around.
Yeah, and I think we are at a point that we will be getting more and more next-gen info, especially coming as, you know, apparently the big reveals next week. So expect a lot more next-gen shit, ladies and gentlemen. That will be our big tackle points in the upcoming weeks ahead of it, dropping at the end of this year. Hopefully that means pre-order dates, because I need one. I need it now.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Now, for any reason, Max, if there does pre-order and it's like 3 a.m., you need to do one for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because like I will not be awake.
No, that's cool. I can do that.
Yeah, we're going to have to teamwork this, babe. Or vice versa. If it's during the day, I get one for you and one for me. Because you'll be sleeping.
Oh, well, but yeah.
Yeah. We have to teamwork this bad boy. But anyways, thank you everyone for watching. And this is where Max comes in and sends out the show.
So this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, please head on over to our Facebook, our Discord, Instagram. All the social links are in the description below.
And if you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch this show live, as well as our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers. That's our wrestling podcast. It's good fun over here. You can join the chat just like Mordecai did, just like Johnny Bag of Donuts did. He's heading out. Good night, Johnny. Thank you so much for joining us, as well as Dash. I think there's another name in there somewhere as well. Reverend Mordecai Puck. Dash, yeah. Bunch of good peeps that come and chat as part of the show. One thing we'd like you to do, share the conversation. Tell your friends, tell your family about this little PlayStation pod. That also includes giving us a thumb up on YouTube, subscribing, all that crap that I never talk about at the start of the show, which I really, really should, but I don't. But yeah, if you're on your podcast services, download it, put it in your sub feed, give it a star rating, all that sort of crap. I know it's a difficult time right now, but if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Carl Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.